and let's hope they find some in 2015. And early in that year we shall bring you Roots to Riches, a series that really shows you how wealth can come from scientific research, botany to be precise. The roots of plants to the riches in society, like food, medicines, flowers, timber, and the presenter will be the Kew Gardens first head of science, Dr. Kathy Willis. Roots has already been broadcast by BBC Radio 4 in Britain. So what was the response? Kathy Willis.
I think many people were surprised how interesting botany was. I mean, botany is always very much viewed as a Cinderella science, the one that's always left behind, the one that's a bit boring at school when you're given a science project. Drawing the cross-section of a flower is the thing people most hate, particularly my children. I've had to draw three sets of cross-sections of flowers in my children's time. So it was really important for me to actually bring alive why plant sciences is so important as a topic within the science arena.
On the assumption that people didn't know this already.
But also to start to bring in other things. I mean, very few people know, for example, that there are three, if not four, photosynthetic pathways. There's definitely three that we know of. Most people just think of the one they learn at school. And yet to know about those other photosynthetic pathways is vital if we're going to understand how plants respond to climate change, for example. So it's bringing those things alive, bringing alive the idea, what makes plants resilient to disease, resilience to climate, resilience to all sorts of other land use change. Once we know that, we can then start planning for the future. So it's understanding those things, and that requires an understanding both of the species, of the communities, populations, but also the genetic aspects of plants.
How many people do you think know that those chloroplasts, where the photosynthesis actually happens, used to be free-living creatures and invading cells a zillion years ago? I mean, a bit like the mitochondria invaded us.
Not many. It's very interesting when you start to look at the very early evolution of life on Earth and realise that we had the organelles that were then taken in to form these first plant cells. So even going right back to the evolutionary origins of life on Earth, we need to know about plants, not just about animals.
What about the reaction from the public? What did they like and what did they perhaps not like so much?
Well, so far I've only got the things people like. I've had one or two people moaning that I've missed out their favourite bit, particularly on invasives. Everyone has a pet invasive plant, and I definitely upset some people by not mentioning their invasive plant. But the things people most liked, which I found really surprising, it was more challenging scientific topics like polyploidies, you know, multiple genes in plants. And they liked the thing about the different photosynthetic pathways. That programme went down very well. And interestingly, the programme on genetic modification, GM, was something I was most worried about, because clearly people do get very emotive about this, and rightly so, everyone has an opinion. But we tried to give a really balanced opinion on the pros and the cons of GM and why certain aspects of GM are really, really important going forward if we are serious about trying to feed a growing global population.
People don't realise necessarily that it's a bit like chemistry. There are so many aspects of chemistry, as there are thousands of different aspects of GM. So it depends which one you're talking about.
Absolutely. And I think our role as a botanical institute, the role is to provide the science. That's what we're here to do. It's then up to the public whether or not they want to accept the output of that science.
Now, huge range, and you're immensely suited because you've got an incredibly varied background. Where, in fact, did you start?
So, yes, it's quite varied. I started originally with a degree in environmental science because at school I was advised to be a farmer. That was my sort of school career advice, which, having grown up in London, seemed a rather odd choice of career, I have to say.
Farmer Willis.
Exactly. So what then happened is I looked for a degree that enabled me to take up those parts of the science I really enjoyed, which was the sort of chemistry, geography, biology. And I ended up doing environmental science at the University of Southampton. And then I really got into plants at university, and so I went on to Cambridge to do a PhD in botany, and then I stayed on there and did various research fellowships within plant sciences in Cambridge, and then a university lectureship came up in Oxford in geography. So I was then in geography for 12 years, and during that time set up an MSc programme in biodiversity conservation and management, and more of my research going in that direction, and then a professorship, a chair, and also setting up a biodiversity institute in Oxford came up, and I applied for that, and that was based in zoology. I've never worked on animals, but I was then in a zoology department for 5 years in Oxford, and now I've moved to Kew, so I've gone back to botany.
Phew.
Yes, it's quite mixed, as to be said. It's quite hard sometimes to describe what I am. I tend to call myself a natural scientist. I think that sort of covers all the bases then.
Well, it's also not simply suitable for making radio programs, but understanding, as you said in the beginning, how important plants are just to keep everything going, because we couldn't do without them.
Absolutely. If we look at what the global challenges, the really big global challenges are right now, one of them clearly is climate change, another one is trying to feed this growing population, having to deal with environmental risks coming through from disease. All of those, we need to know about plants, we need to know about the genes, we need to know about the species, the communities, the populations, where they are, what they do, in order to be able to address some of those global challenges. Plants are the solution to some of these things, but we need to know about them more now than we ever have done before. And yet, unfortunately, as is the case with many scientific disciplines, while plants are still seen as the Cinderella, they're the ones that most often get cut.
Cut, you mean the money gets taken away and the resources?
The money and the resources get cut back. But I think it's our job to explain why plants are important. It's the so what of biodiversity. Why should we conserve biodiversity when we have these other huge pressures on us? If I were a farmer and I was trying to feed my family and someone said, you must preserve that plant because it's the last, you know, spotted whatever, I probably, as the farmer, would say, sorry, I need that land for important for feeding my family. But if we can then say, oh, but that spotted whatever provides a really important resource for, let's say, pollination services, immediately you can start to value the plants for the potential they give in terms of their ecosystem services. And that's the way we really have to start thinking about valuing plants.
In Australia, there's something called the Land Care Movement, which started in Victoria and involves scientists and farmers. And the farmers have responded fantastically well once people took the trouble to explain what was going on, because when they're on the spot, they can see there's a problem. There's no doubt. Yeah. There it is in front of you. And then when the scientists get together with them, they're very much willing to do so. Is it the same case here?
Absolutely. And I think it just comes back to the dialogue between the people who own that land or working on that land and the scientists. And actually one of the best, this was one of before I came here, one of the best questions ever asked of me as a scientist was by an oil company who said, where can we damage? And I mean, of course, as a biodiversity conservation, nowhere, you know, you can't damage. But they were right. They were exactly right to ask that question. And they said, we are given concession for this large area of land. Our footprint will be less than a kilometre in diameter. So where on that land should we put our footprint? Where will cause least ecological damage? And the minute you start thinking that way, you start thinking, how do we value across a landscape, which bits of that landscape are important and why? At that point, I think people start to get it.
It's interesting, my program is 39 years old, The Science Show has been on air every week for 39 years, and for the 39th birthday program we had a man who's no longer with us called Richardson Barb Baker, and he was talking about the ways in which they used mulch in the desert, and the mulch came from the oil companies, and they spread this byproduct of the oil on the sand, having planted these little trees, smaller shrubs and so on. And that worked. I mean, had you heard of that yourself?
No, but I mean, I'm aware of a number of similar type of programs and projects going on where you're using the byproduct of something that you might not necessarily be approving of, and yet that in itself is paying back something to the earth. And I think that's a really important way of learning how to manage landscapes, manage them in an ecologically sensitive way, but also making sure that if you are destroying one area, that you're able to put back something into a biodiverse area.
Final question, what's your next series?
What I would like to do one on actually is about garden plants. But where do your plants come from? Where do they come from historically, evolutionary? So, for example, daffodils, tulips, all these spring flowers. But you can do the same with the summer fruits. Where are their nearest wild crop relatives? How far back do they go in the evolutionary history? Who brought them here? These questions, I think, are really interesting, and that's something I certainly would love to pursue.
Dr. Kathy Willis, who takes off on The Science Show in 2015. Roots to Riches starts on January the 17th, and my favourite bits include the astounding work of Beatrix Potter and how a giant tree survived despite being wrenched from the ground in Kew by a huge tornado. And as for gardens, Tim Entwistle talks plants every Sunday at 9 a.m. on RN. And Dylan Thomas, who would be 100 this year, ended Fern Hill like this.
Oh, as I was young and easy in the mercy of his means, time held me green and dying. though I sang in my chains like the sea.
And that's The Science Show number 1996. There will be new programs throughout the summer, no repeats. Next week we go to Womb, Adelaide to peer into the future. Do we have one? And as you heard, Roots to Riches starts on January the 17th. Meanwhile, Science Extra is unleashed on Sundays at 7 a.m. when I shall introduce Brian Cox and Robin Ince with The Infinite Monkey Cage. And we shall say farewell to scientists such as Tony McMichael, who died this year, and hear from more PhDs. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher and Andrei Shabanov. And from me, another farewell to all those ABC colleagues leaving us for who knows what. I'm Robin Williams.
Three kings of Orient are, one on a tractor, two in a car, one on a scooter, tooting a hooter, following yonder star, oh star.
Star of wonder, star of light, star of beauty, she'll be right, star of glory, that's the story, following yonder star.